nothing appealing about him. He just looks like he just lacks like the intangibles to be an actual NBA, a useful NBA player.
I mean, there was a possession in the fourth quarter where he was, where he like he had an open lane to drive to the rim on the baseline, and he hesitated and he passed it out.
Yeah, he just seems really soft to me. Like he looks like he lacks like zero kill.
Okay, I am recording, by the way. This is the Tip of the Tower podcast, where it's DeMar joined by the one and only Crystal Kranitz.
I mean, we could open like that if you want.
Then we have opened.
Oh, we've opened. Oh, that's how you do this.
We have opened. This is like, if we were a store, you'd like, I already opened the store at 7 a.m. You're walking in at 8 a.m. You're like, whoa. I thought we were opening at 8. I'm like, no. Things are on sale, bro.
Well, dude, if you still open at 7, I probably show up at 7:15, 7:20. Let's be real here. Notorious reputation for that. I'm not proud of it, but it's true.
You know, the Raptors look great today, man. It's hard not to look great when you're playing against the Lakers.
Yeah, you know what, though? The Lakers have been decent this season. They're, what, 10 and 11 now? Tonight they just look terrible.
Yeah, you know, what was killing them to begin, like, killing them throughout the game was actually Bebe, which, you know, you never thought you would hear those words.
Your chagrin on that one, because you're the biggest Bebe detractor, but it's fair. It's fair. You've shifted your hate from DeRozan to Bebe, and I feel like it's fair. No, I'm kidding, man. I know the guys at work bust your chops about that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I don't, he looked good, and they just don't have anybody tall enough to guard him. Which I noted on Twitter. If you're following me on Twitter, you should be following me on Twitter. If you're not, I don't know why you're not following me on Twitter. But yeah, he's literally taller than everybody else, and he's getting rebounds over everybody else, and he is just dunking it over everybody else. I'm loving it.
You know, he's really good around the rim at finishing around the rim. Just defensively, where to start, man? He just looks lost at times defensively, and he's a liability against better teams, in my opinion. And it's the little things, too, like bumping players off screens. Doesn't really do that. Just kind of, you know, lets guys go by. Doesn't bump cutters either. So it's just little things like that I bet you are definitely agitating Dwayne Casey on film when he watches it.
Yeah, they're a drop defense, so he, like, drops back, so they let that mid-ranger go. But his challenges at the rim are kind of lackluster, man. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, he doesn't, I don't think he understands yet that he just doesn't, you don't need to go up to block the shot every time, right? Like, you can go up and kind of, how do I put this? He just needs to be big at the rim, man. He doesn't necessarily need to block every shot. Like,
yeah,
he's not going to be a Biombo. He just has to make the guy readjust his shot.
He should, like, really consider looking at some Roy Hibbert film in Indiana. Just, like, that verticality rule that he mastered in Indiana.
I was literally going to say that.
So if he just, like, because he doesn't really need to block shots just because his body is so freaking long. If he's just big enough, like, people will alter shots regardless. There was even a possession where, like, where he first got subbed in, and then I forgot who had drive to the rim. I think it was Lou Williams, and they're attacking him on the baseline, and Nogueira had him shut off, and he went straight up, but then he came down to, like, block the shot because Lou Williams is shorter than him, and he obviously fouled him, and you could just see Corey Joseph be like, man, just stay big. Like, you could see him, like, just reaching his hands into the air, yelling at him, just like, stay big, just don't come down.
The Raptors went at Lou Will, by the way. They went at him at Will before I, like, deviate off the BABA thing there. I just had to get that in. What do you think about the Raptors playing zone a bit, though, the past couple games? I think that's something that could actually work well with Bebe, since we're on the topic of his defense.
Yeah, it works great if you have, like, Lowry, Powell especially, he really makes it work because he's so fast that he can dart between defenders. I like it. A lot of teams they're not using it, but they're splashing it in, you know, like, after every couple possessions or so, like, if there's a timeout, they'll, like, splash in a zone just because it's harder to see initially, especially for an ATO. You know, you're like, oh, what? Like, because you expect people to do man, because that's what they do for the entire game.
And, like, yeah, pretty much.
So if you see that zone, you're kind of confused on what you're supposed to do, even through an ATO, because, like, they'll end up switching, or you'll see like defenders in different spots where you're not supposed to, and you get really confused. So I like it. It's a good idea.
It's a cool wrinkle, I think, for the Raptors to add in. Someone we haven't seen too often with them.
They need these wrinkles, bro, because like the defense is not the defense is not working. It worked today, but it has not been working for the past like 18 games.
Well, to be fair, I mean, they started off last season like this too, right? Where defense was kind of an issue to start the season, and they got better as it progressed. So maybe we'll see the same thing. But
I don't think so.
Do you think it's a defensive issue or a personnel issue?
It's a personnel, man. I think people I think people are underestimating how good Bismack Biyombo is on defense. Really, like not just like the shot blocking, but also versatility. It's like his ability to like jump out on for switches with the when there's a big man screen and roll is just like something you don't really get much of in the NBA. And now that they're missing that, and Nogueira isn't much of a shot blocker, and he's a shot blocker but not like a rim protector, and neither is JV. The defense is suffering, man. It's suffering.
I don't know how they fix it. I mean, I just feel like they're going to have to keep experimenting, to be honest. They keep trying new things out. Siakam at the five. Even what they did the other night, they went extra small. Patterson at the five. Mm-hmm. Four guards. That worked really well against Memphis.
They never do Siakam at the five, man. And I think that...
I know. We've seen it like twice this year.
Yeah, they do it very, very rarely. But I think that's like something... that they need to explore, especially for the playoffs. Like, you need to, it's the beginning of the season. These are the times where you should be like rolling out those experimental lineups.
I'm trying to think.
Like Siakam at the five. I don't know what else
they could roll out there.
Like play more Powell. Powell's great on D. He's a true 3-and-D player.
Great as a starter.
And he sits on the bench.
That's the thing that's so puzzling, is like last year in the postseason and even near the end of the regular season there, when we saw him start, he just played better.
Yeah, and he was
maybe he's like the reverse Patrick Patterson, you know? He's a better starter than off the bench guy.
Yeah, and he was shooting probably. I mean, most starters are better. If you're a starter, you're better starting than off the bench. You know, it takes a while to adjust, but I think he is a starter caliber player, and it's just like he has so many guards in front of him. He's just never going to get to touch the floor. And you would think that he would gain more equity than Terrence Ross, but Terrence Ross has been, like, he's been performing this year, finally.
Yeah, but even, they're still kind of similar. I think Powell's a better defender. You can argue Ross is a better three-point shooter just based off this year, how it's gone so far. But I don't think Powell's too far behind. I think it's, like, really close.
Yeah, Powell also has better ball handling, man.
Like, would it not be fair to say Powell's more of a Dwayne Casey-type player?
Yeah, the only thing that I think that Dwayne, the only reason why Dwayne Casey doesn't play him more frequently is because I think he thinks he's too short. Yeah, because we don't see Siakam at the five, even though we're thinking that Siakam at the five would be great for small ball lineups, and we see Carroll at the four every once in a while, but not too much, and then we see Powell at the three, but that's only because Dwayne Casey doesn't like changing up his bench lineup. Right, so they'll play Powell at the three, but I just think he thinks Powell is too short.
You know what? That would make sense, because if he was to start on a regular basis, it kind of makes DeRozan vulnerable to the elite three guys in the league, right? Like any swingman, he has to guard, and that's probably going to slow him down long term. Just bigger bodies, and I don't think DeRozan's capable of playing the three on a nightly basis. Because yeah. I'm assuming you'd put Powell at the two, or would you put Powell at the three?
When it's the Lakers, playing the three is kind of like ambiguous because they have a lot of like size guys.
Yeah.
But I think he would play the three. I think he's more of if he was 6'6 or 6'7 instead of 6'4, he would be a small forward.
Okay, let me frame it this way. Against the elite teams in the East, aka the Cavs, is DeRozan starting the game at three against LeBron, or are you putting Norm Powell?
I think
you gotta put DeRozan, man.
Against LeBron, I mean, LeBron would just like, it's tough.
Obviously, we'll see Carroll play probably what 25-30 minutes in that scenario,
right?
But I think just to start the game, wouldn't you put DeRozan?
Okay, so
how much can LeBron hurt you in the first minute? Tell me what
that lineup actually looks like then. Like what?
You'd have Lowry at the one, Powell at the two, DeRozan at the three. We both agree it should be Patterson at the four. but that's debatable. And then JV at the five. That would be like my optimal starting lineup against the Cavs. Starting lineup.
Okay. I like Paolo at the three, man. Even though it doesn't work against LeBron. I mean, the Raptors still don't have a player to defend LeBron other than Carroll.
Not many teams do, period, though.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't have enough offensive firepower to like mitigate it unless they play Patterson at the four. Which they don't play Patterson at the... I don't know. I still don't... I still don't know why they don't play Patterson at the four. But mostly, I guess they just don't want to change the bench lineup. And if, by not changing that bench lineup, that allows them to play Powell in starting, but that like shackles Patterson to the bench. So I think he's going to play the three. And then they'll see Siakam at the four, I guess, and, you know, he'll be like, oh, yeah, I could totally switch more, which I guess it's true, but I don't know. I think that lineup is still susceptible to LeBron post-ups, which has killed the Raptors for the past, like, 2 years.
LeBron kills so many teams like that now. I mean, tonight, I don't know if you're watching it all, the Cavs and Bulls game. Jimmy Butler didn't do too bad. Last time I saw LeBron was at 7 turnovers. Bulls are probably going to win that game. But even him, like, we consider him, like, an elite player in the league now. Well, do you? I mean, I do. I consider Jimmy Butler an elite guy now.
Ooh. See, oh, I mean, this year for sure. This year for sure. I mean, they finally, like, decided that, you know, this is his team, even though...
Yeah.
Even though Dwayne Wade is on it, same with Rondo.
I think Dwayne Wade's kind of helped push it towards him, too, though.
I love that Dwayne... Can I just still mention that I love that Dwayne Wade shoots threes?
All of a sudden, Pat Riley is probably right pissed. Did shoot threes the whole time. He's like, hey, look at this.
I love that story. I love that story about him, like, saying that he didn't shoot threes before because he didn't have to practice them and the team didn't need it, right? But then in the playoffs, he would practice shooting threes more frequently. And then if you look at his three-point shooting in the playoffs, it's actually, like, in the mid-30s. So then he's just like, yeah, I'm just going to shoot more threes in practice for the regular season. And now he shoots threes.
It's actually puzzling. But it's cool to watch, too, because it's kind of like the evolution of Dwayne Wade. We're so used to seeing flashes get to the rim and, more importantly, get to the free throw line at will. And now, you know, stretching the floor a bit with the three ball.
Yeah. Hey, man, even Pascal Siakam is trying to attempt those threes, too. Have you seen that? Those two, like, corner three. One was ruled a two, but he was, like, standing on the line, and there was another one where he was from the opposite corner. These were, like, in the fourth quarter.
I know, okay. That's what I was going to ask you. Is that here to stick, or is that just kind of, hey, we're up by 30, let's try some stuff?
I think he's trying it because he needs to try it eventually.
Right? Sweet Lou, back in Toronto.
You know what? I think it is that it's like something he'll keep trying, but man, I don't know. It'd be not a bad form. Not bad form.
His jump shot is so slow. Like, it's slow motion.
And he looks like he hasn't shot too many of them before, and I think he hasn't, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And then even from the mid-range, he shoots it at such a high arc, which is great because, you know, you get more rotations on the ball slows down in the air, but, you know, just him getting up to that his arm's position to actually release the ball, I feel like it slows down his shot release, especially when you see, like, Klay Thompson or Steph Curry. I know those are extreme examples, but those are, like, right in front of the forehead, and then they shoot it, or just a little bit above the top of their hairline, and they shoot it. Yeah, man.
Any other takeaways from this game, man? I mean, I don't know what else to say about Siakam shooting the three. If it keeps happening, we'll talk about it. You know, they say once an incident, twice a coincidence, three times a trend. Mm-hmm, so if it happens a third time, say no more. We're talking about that trend.
Okay, so I just want to get, like, a definitive answer. It's like, do they need to put Patterson at power forward now?
I think they do because I don't know what else they can try. The only other thing they can try, in my opinion, is Damari Carroll at the four. And that basically means that they're committing to playing small ball.
I'm talking about like a regular season solution.
Regular season solution? I think they got to put Patterson there now, right?
Really?
Like, either that or they keep biding their time until Jared Sollinger comes back because that was what they said their initial plan was, right? Let's put Sullinger there. So until they do that, which ideally is what they want, in my opinion, because that's why they brought him here, I think playing Patterson there might be the most beneficial.
Okay. So what about the bench? Because that's the issue, because it has to be. I mean, it has to be the issue. Where Dwayne Casey's is like, my bench has worked perfectly, and I've had the same amount of people on this bench, and it continues to work, right? The power, and like his starting lineup is like, as long as I have Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, that is still working. So he's like one of those coaches where he's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Don't fix it. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like, what's the big deal about playing Patterson an extra 3 to 4 minutes a night?
I don't see the problem. I'm just thinking, like, Dwayne Casey doesn't want to do it. Again, it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I've been looking into writing this piece for Patrick Patterson, where it's just like the lineup where it's Patrick Patterson at the four is just like destroying teams by like,
it's way better.
But I looked at it, I think it was like a net like +30 when last time I looked at it, versus when it's Siakam at the four, it's 0.7, like +0.7. That's it.
So you really think that Casey doesn't want to change it just because the bench works so well?
It's been two or three years at this point where Patterson's coming off the bench. You have Kojo coming off the bench, and you have Terrence Ross coming off the bench, and it's worked, right?
Yep.
And now Terrence Ross is ascending, right? And Patrick Patterson is kind of like the same. Corey Joseph is like struggling a little bit, but now he's starting to pick it back up. And he's just like, you know, the starting lineup is working, right? The bench has always worked, right? So he's just, I can imagine it where it's just like everything is, it doesn't make sense, but everything is working. So I'm going to continue to let it work and not touch it, right? Because if you think about it, in today's NBA, like a non-shooting center and power forward lineup should not really work unless you're the Clippers, where you can throw alley-oops to your center and power forward all the time. Sure. Right? And somehow they're the third best offense in the league. So it doesn't, stylistically, it doesn't make that much sense for it to work, but it is working. Right? So I can imagine it's just like, it's not supposed to work, but it's working. Bench has always worked. So I'll just let it go. Just like let it run by itself. I mean,
Go ahead, sorry.
He's been able to, like, he's been willing to change the starting lineup, but like the bench is just like, I have a feeling he's trying to zig where everybody else is zagging at this point.
I could buy that. I just think they're gonna run into issues, and it sucks because I want to see tomorrow night when they play Atlanta how he would handle the Millsap Dwight Howard lineup at the front there, because that's a damn good front court in the Eastern Conference. And no Millsap, so just Dwight. So we know he's going to cry for fouls and just crash the glass.
Wait,
but joking aside, I think we're at the 20th game tomorrow. The first, I'll say, give or take, 11 games was the DeMar DeRozan show. He literally just scored nonstop, like at a pace we've never seen. And the past, I want to say, 6 or 7 games roughly, very quietly, Kyle Lowry has led this team and done a lot. And I think they've kind of been able to masquerade some of their issues behind the play of those two guys. And it's kind of funny how it's broken down. Like, the first half was DeRozan, and now this stretch here is all Lowry. So right. I think that's kind of, like, overshadowed a lot of what we're talking about, to be honest.
All right, so the next stretch is JV, right? Right? Breakout season? Right?
What do you make of him, man?
I don't know, man.
I don't know anymore either. Like, I'm really struggling to formulate an opinion on Jonas Valanciunas. I still think he's a good player.
I think he's good. I think he's good, but it doesn't fit stylistic. This him and Pascal Siakam don't fit stylistically with what a conventional NBA team should be trying to do. But there's a point where talent will trump the fit, where he's just like, I just have enough good guys on the floor that it'll just work eventually. Right, this is like how the Clippers work, where, again, it's an extreme example, but, you know, good teams are extreme examples in the NBA, where you know, Blake Griffin, you know, he shoots a mid-ranger, like that's the extent of his range, and like DeAndre Jordan literally cannot shoot unless he's dunking it or laying it up, And somehow that has always been one of the best offenses in the league, even though they have CP3. Right? So with this, just like the eventually this is like you have so many good players that, you know, the people know how to be in the right places, or they know, especially for the Raptors and the Clippers, they've been together for such a long time. It's like, all right, I'm going to set the screen here. Like, you'll see, they don't run very many plays, and they don't really need to, because you'll see, like, a lot of just, like, drag screens into open threes and stuff like that. So I just think, you know, it's working because they know each other, but stylistically, it shouldn't be working. I think JV is probably, like, would you even be, do you think the team would hurt very much if they traded JV for, like,
Marcus Cousins? No, I think we get way better.
Not for DeMarcus, but like there was that point where Bismack was the center, like the five man, and like there was no depreciable drop for this team.
So, in my honest opinion, I think Jonas Valanciunas is the perfect backup center for this team. I think he's kind of like an excellent change of pace guy, where when the Raptors want to play that old '90s relic style basketball and punish you down low and actually utilize JV and get him touches, mm-hmm. he's great. But aside from that, he just doesn't look like he fits in out there, like you're saying. And to your point, what you were just saying now, Biombo was a much better fit. I hate to keep bringing up the past about Biombo and all that, but he was a better fit for how the Raptors play basketball.
Yeah, if he could just... If Nogueira was just, like, capable of a defender, I think he would actually have replaced JV in the starting lineup. And
I could buy that.
Yeah, it's just, like, there's nobody... JV off the bench works because... He could just, like, there are no centers in the NBA that are good off the bench in the post, right? So he would just be able to punish them consistently. And in the center position in the starting lineup, is just, like, when does he get the ball? You know?
I was just about to ask you, is it a byproduct of him not being involved in the offense, getting no touches, or is it just he doesn't fit? Because a lot of people like to argue that, you know, well, the Raptors and KC, they don't use him. So what do you want him to do? He's just out there to rebound. It's like, okay, it is a fair point, but at the same time, I kind of think it isn't.
The two best players are Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, right?
Yep.
So they're going to get the majority of the shots, and then everybody else is going to be like a byproduct of whatever they get. And the best byproducts of two slashing point guards or two slashing guards is a 3-point shooters. So that's how you can get like 20 points for Carroll, and then like JV just doesn't. You know, he doesn't get double digits, but he'll get, like, 10 rebounds, or he'll get, like, 7 or 8. If the team scores a lot, he doesn't get any rebounds because there are no offensive rebounds for him to grab, right? So if it's a like, high-scoring game, then he'll actually play... He kind of plays poorly, but if it's a low-scoring game, then you'll see, like, he has 20 and 15 or 20 and 13 because he got all these boards, either defensively and offensively, and then he's just, like, he's destroying people on putbacks because he's such a low down low. So he just like he just doesn't fit, man. He it's a very long way to say that he doesn't fit on the team, even though it's, you know, sad to say after all of this.
You know what's gonna happen tomorrow night, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's going off. 25.
Yeah, he's gonna have a monster 20, game.
2020 game tomorrow. Trust me.
Because the way he plays fits the way the Hawks play.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's gonna go off tomorrow night now, and it's just gonna make us look stupid. It's going to make us look bad.
He's going to go for 2020, and then everybody's going to be like, this is why JV should always get touches, right?
Right? It's kind of crazy, because I don't think people realize that how much getting JV touches slows down the offense and alters a lot of what DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry do. Maybe not Lowry, but a lot of what DeRozan does.
Yeah. Here's an anomaly. Again, this is like, you know, it for some reason it works even though it shouldn't. DeMar DeRozan and Jonas Valanciunas have been like a top five pick and roll duo in the NBA, even though that they don't, you wouldn't necessarily think that they fit together because JV is a slow big man, he's not very athletic, and then DeMar DeRozan is not a 3-point shooter in any way, and it's kind of methodical with the way he plays. But just like the way that they work the angles is like perfect for their productivity. And I'm just thinking, like, if you had a different center, I don't think there's that much of a drop off. So I think we should trade Jonas Valanciunas, man.
Okay. What do you trade him for?
You know, I'm the idea man, not the plan man. Oh. Right? So, if you come back to me next podcast, I'll absolutely have an answer for you. But he's looking like they just need a defensive big for center, man. And they just need him to like catch lobs, right? And just play defense and like finish around the rim and just be like a rebounding monster. So, I don't know. I can't even think of, like, if you made that trade for, I know everybody's going to hate me for saying this, but if they traded back for Bismack Biyombo, I would not be upset.
I highly doubt that would happen. I think there's another player on the Magic that they could explore possibly acquiring to rent for this season, but okay. I think that's Serge Ibaka. I think they could rent him.
This is my only.
Orlando's not going in the right direction at the moment. I don't know. Frank Vogel's experimenting a lot with mm-hmm. that team. Understandably so. I mean, they don't really have like a nucleus in place, right? Like, they got to figure that out. And I don't know if Ibaka's going to fit what they're doing long term.
Okay.
So, if you're the Raptors and you fully believe you're all in and, you know, you could potentially beat the Cavs this year with, let's say, an Ibaka, I think it makes sense to rent them if the cost is right, of course.
Okay. I mean,
that's strictly the rental move.
Yeah.
That's like the we're all in to win this year.
And it's
we feel like we can beat the Cavs.
And it's a really bad buy low. It's because JV, you know, his contract is so cheap.
Oh, and sorry, I'm not saying trade JV for Ibaka straight up.
Okay, who are we trading?
I mean, I don't know what they would want. That's the thing.
Sorry.
If I'm Orlando, I definitely want some first round picks.
Right. Oh, if you're probably Orlando, like what? Oh my goodness.
They're late. The first round picks would be late, right?
Okay.
So you would probably ask for the Clippers protected one this year at the Raptors zone. Maybe the Raptors next year, like.
But it's only for 1 year of Serge Ibaka.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Two late first-round picks?
Man, I think every Raptors like discussion is starting to boil down to who do we make a trade for like our power forward or center position to top the Cavs.
Seriously, though. And I know some people will get upset about trading picks because, you know, picks are capital in the NBA. Well, in any sport, for that matter, because you're adding young talent. But I think what people forget, too, is that the Raptors, with 905 now, we've kind of seen them stockpile young picks over the years and just accumulate talent where that these guys got to start contributing at the NBA level, right? So trading two late first-round picks, in my opinion, with Poeltl coming up, Van Fleet, you could even say a forgotten man here, DeLon Wright. Like, mm-hmm. There's Norman Powell. There's a lot of young guys coming up that are going to start contributing to this roster. So I think the Raptors are in a good position where they can afford to spend these first-round picks.
Okay, I like that. You know, you convinced me, but I don't know if you convinced me for Bismack Biyombo.
Oh, Biyombo? I mean, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. Biyombo's tough, though, because you got to take on all that term and money, right? And then are you really going to have Biyombo and Valanciunas at the same, a very similar contract for the next, what, 3 years, 2 years?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Damn, dude. That letting go of Bismack is proving to be a mistake right now. And even though
they said they went after him though too, right?
Yeah, but you can only go, you could really only go after him for so much because they were basically capped out. So, like, you know, is somebody's gonna offer him like 30? Let's say somebody offers him like $30 million, and he's not gonna stay with you for 10. Or,
yeah, of course. I mean, you gotta understand it from his part too. I'll never shit on a player for taking the money while he's there. I mean, look at Rob Gronkowski in football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another back surgery, his third one that he got today. There's worries that his career could be over. Guy took his payday a couple of years ago. You can never knock guys for getting paid because you never know when your career could be over. As cliche as that sounds, we'd all do the same thing. So
yeah,
I'm not going to knock Biz for taking the money.
Would you rather be overpaid or underrated? Basically.
Overpaid or underrated?
Yeah.
I'd rather be a little underpaid on a contender, if that makes sense. I don't want to be overrated. If you're asking me if I'd stay with the Raptors for a little less money, then go to tax-free Florida and play on the shitty Magic, I'll take my money on a short term and bank on myself, but that's just me.
Okay. Tell Jay-Z.
I mean, let's keep in mind, Biz was considered a bust for the first, what, 2 years?
Right, that is true. And, you know, there's like his no hands, and he fouls so much and all that stuff.
He can't shoot. And what was Michael Jordan doing picking this guy?
Man. That's a huge mistake. I mean, and even just you know, that 1 year contract. It's impossible to tell, obviously, because it was a flyer, but damn. We miss Bisping. Okay.
Well, let's say Sullinger works out.
Mm-hmm. What is it? That's give me solution. The definition of Sullinger working out, by the way, because we haven't really seen him play other than in I don't even think that we saw. I think we saw a couple games in preseason, but
other than, a couple minutes.
Yeah, other than that, we haven't seen him at all with his Raptors squad. So, like, what is? Give me the definition of success for Jared Sullinger with his Raptors.
Success, eh?
Like, what is a good? What is a you know a good season for him on the Raptors?
You know, I don't want to be like, statistically speaking, if he puts this, this, and this, that'll be a good season. But I think if he can prove to give the Raptors a solid 15 to 20 minutes a night, and considering they want to keep Patrick Patterson in the second unit, that has to come as a starter.
Right.
I think if he can do that, and what that would entail would be like rebounding, proving that he can actually switch off pick and rolls, that would be tremendous help for this team. Tremendous help. If he can do those two things, I think that's a successful season. I know that's not setting the bar very high, but I'd be cool with that. And I know what you're going to want. This is just for you. Since you're my boy, DeMar, you know, shoot some threes. Make one three a game. I think if he can do that, you might even buy into him.
He needs to make more than one three a game. I'm just thinking about, like, Jared Sol. You know that Pascal Siakam plays 24 minutes in the starting lineup right now. If you're gonna only, you gotta play him for at least, you know, at least 20, 24. That's gonna phase out Siakam. Powell gets pushed down.
I finally said 15 to 20, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, 15 to 20. Siakam's still play. I mean, is he still gonna play?
Why wouldn't he?
How is he still gonna play when Patterson's still playing?
Siakam at the five, baby.
Why would they unleash? So, I'm
off
just
the
trying.
Bench.
I'm just trying to think of like, okay. I don't. There's no real proof that he would go that way, though.
I know. I mean, there's reluctant. Nobody really has a true understanding of what Casey's going to do yet. He's experimenting a lot.
Saw
some DeMarre Carroll, Kyle Lowry pick and rolls.
I don't really think he's experimenting that much because we never see Siakam at the five, and then we never really see, you know, we're rarely seeing Powell in any lineups at this point. He's kind
in
of
comparison to previous years.
I mean,
I'm experimenting more than once for Dwayne Casey is a lot, in my opinion. Because it's been the same thing, rinse and repeat.
Oh,
baby steps, right?
Yeah, baby steps. You know, people are starting to get old. we can't start. People are starting to get old. We can't be taking baby steps anymore. We need to be taking strides.
Well, fair to say, correct me if I'm wrong here, would this upcoming 5-game stretch not prove a lot to us? I mean, they got Atlanta at home, Cleveland at home, Minnesota at home, at Boston, rivalry renewed, and then Milwaukee at home.
I mean, it's not bad. It's not that difficult. You got the Hawks and Cavs, but then, you know, the Timberwolves, Celtics, they're still injured team. And I think I'm pretty sure Al Horford is just getting over that concussion right now, so.
And apparently he doesn't love basketball enough, according to some people in Boston, because, you know.
Oh yeah, because
the pregnancy thing with his wife.
Goodness, I don't know what's going on in Boston, man. Those people are just.
Did you see that?
They're actually losing it. It's like, dude, those are the. Imagine if Channing Frye, you know, when his dad died, and they're just like, yeah, but like, how come he's not on the court the next day? Like,
he doesn't care about basketball.
He should be using it as an escape from his father's death. Like, no, that's not how it works. Basketball is a game. You know, there's real life things that happen outside of basketball, and those require more attention than basketball. Even though it's your job, you would be taking your day off from your job to go mourn your father's death, or to be going to see your wife when she's giving birth. That's just like a fact. So even though you're getting paid millions of dollars, you're still going to be seeing your wife and your dead father. Don't be ridiculous. Like, that's just it. Honestly, is just ridiculous.
Wholeheartedly agree. And for what it's worth, he had a great night tonight. 26 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, 6 blocks. Like, that's about an Al Horford night as it gets. And he was 4 of 7 from 3, so.
He's back with the bench.
For what it's worth, I think that was his best night as a Celtic.
But yeah, it's going to be a good stretch, and it's going to be a stretch where you can really evaluate the Raptors. It's a little easy. It's a smidge. Because,
I mean, I don't know how to find difficult stretches anymore with this roster. After what, playing Golden State and the Cavs back-to-back?
Yeah, it was hellish. Yeah, it was hellish, but you know, the Hawks have been struggling. You know, Paul Millsap is, like, he's wavering in and out of the lineup. The Cavs are, like, the Cavs kind of look bad. I mean, not, like, terrible, but they look, like, not the Cavs right now. So
you know they'll crank it up for the Raptors, though.
So it looks like you can kind of glean a game off of them right now, but... Yeah, I don't think it's that super difficult, but it's, you know, it's a trying time for them. It'll be a trying time.
Hey, what's up with the Timberwolves? I know you watch a lot of them too. We both watch the Timberwolves play quite a bit.
I love the Timberwolves, and it's just
work in progress.
They're just 1 year too young at this point. They're like everything looks great on paper, and it's basically, you know, it's just everything works in theory, but in practice, it's not working out properly. And I think they just need just this 1 year to coalesce one more time, figure out what they're doing with Ricky Rubio, figure out what they're doing with Gorgui Dieng, and stop making Towns play power forward, which is like literally the dumbest lineup decision I've ever seen, other than Zach LaVine at the one, which yeah, I think they're just 1 year away. You know, yeah, they're just 1 year away. Towns will be better. We'll have LaVine being better. I don't know about Rubio. I think they should have traded Rubio long ago, man.
Like, I agree. I think something too to keep into contextual value here with the Timberwolves: 6 of their 14 losses this year have been by 6 points or less.
Yeah, and they're losing
close games,
and they're losing them all in the third quarter because they'll be up by like 10 or 15 at the end of the second, and then they'll just, like, collapse in the third quarter. I don't know what is going on. It's like the other team finally picks up on what they're doing, and then they have no counter move to the to the other team's counter move.
So weird. I'm really curious to watch them play the Raptors. You know, I watch them play, like, probably way too much.
Hey, man, I watch the Timberwolves and I watch the 76ers. I probably watch the Raptors the most, and then I watch, like, the 76ers, and then the Clippers, and then the Wolves. Those are my, like, four favorite teams to watch right now.
No Knicks?
I don't watch
them. Dude, they're one game above 500 now. Celebrate.
I watch the Knicks every once. I watched the Knicks play the Timberwolves. That was a great game.
Yeah.
The Porzingis.
Like the Towns win.
Yeah, Porzingis versus Towns is a great matchup always. Yeah, I don't watch the Knicks that frequently. I watch them every once in a while, but... You know, I'm hard pressed to be taken away from my 76ers, man. I was disappointed when their game got canceled last night.
Oh, man. Yeah, don't even remind me about that. Top three teams to watch right now. Like, if you were just a casual fan.
If you're a casual
fan. I know
fan,
you have your preference. But considering how much basketball we watch, which three teams do you feel are the most exciting to watch?
The Warriors, just because of the spectacle. It depends on what you want to see. If you want to see, like, the best of the best, then you just watch the best of the best. You watch, like, the Clippers.
Yeah, of course.
And then you would just watch the Clippers, and then you'd probably watch the Cavs or the Spurs. But if you want to watch some, like, fresh upcoming talent, Lakers, right? The Lakers are decent, and
they're
fun
not bad,
team.
Man. Brandon Ingram was good tonight.
And they're a fun team now.
Yeah, they are.
Right? So, Lakers, and then you just watch, like, the Timberwolves, and, like, maybe the Bulls. I get, you know what, the Rockets, we're lowballing the Rockets.
Yeah, I was literally just gonna say, if you want to see pace and speed, Rockets, Nuggets, Suns. They may not be the best teams, but man, is there a lot of scoring in those games.
Yeah,
even the Trailblazers too.
Yeah, but the Trailblazers don't play defense. I guess they have great offense, but the defense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're strictly looking for points and tempo, and you want to see some up and down action, those four teams, they'll give it to you.
You're right.
Even very quietly, like. Very quietly. I think the Bulls have been fun to watch.
Yeah. I like, you know what? Again, I love the Dwayne Wade threes. It's enough for me to watch the Bulls games. Just to see him.
I like watching the emergence of Jimmy Butler, too.
Him, and then, you know, if they ever figure out that less Rondo is, you know, less is more with Rondo.
Hey, triple-double tonight for Rondo. Triple-double.
Yeah, but those are, like, the most selfish triple-doubles, man.
You know what? Some of Westbrook's triple doubles are the most selfish ones too.
You think so? I think he looks fantastic.
Oh yeah, no, there's no doubt he looks fantastic. But I think we can all see why Durant left.
Ooh, man! If we had drops, if we had like sound effects in here, it'd just be like,
oh, that was a little snipe right there. I've been saying that since day one, though. To be honest, like since a few years ago when I can't recall exactly what game, but Westbrook took this last second shot, mm-hmm. and Durant just shot on this glare like, dude, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I feel like the disconnect really started. I'll go look that game up, but that's where I feel like it all started. And Westbrook doesn't give a damn, man. Westbrook just wants to stuff his stats for Westbrook. Some people like that. Others, you know, I think he's our generation's Allen Iverson.
But he looks better than Allen Iverson. I'm gonna be real with you right now. He looks way better than Allen Iverson right now.
It's no, like, without question. But I'm just saying in perspective to that, Iverson was a really good player, but a really good individual player, and he could never really get his teams to win a title or to consistently show up in the Eastern Conference Finals and all that stuff. Like, yeah, the East was bad, and they slipped in those 2 years. The 1 year in the Finals, and then the other year, Eastern Conference Finals, but nothing really ever came about it. We would always just talk about how great Iverson was. I feel like Westbrook's going to be the same way here in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. If he stays.
He did sign an extension, so he'd be around for a little bit.
Yeah, a little 3-year deal. That could be a wait and see what the Lakers do. But if the Lakers develop, they're going to have money in 3 years' time.
Yeah, they will. I'm just like, you know, everybody. Everybody sounds like they're going to the Lakers, man. Everybody's going to the Lakers. Even though nobody has gone to the Lakers since, like, Shaq.
It would be a Westbrook thing, though, to go to the Lakers, go back to Tinseltown. Hey, he's from there, UCLA, you know, whole nine yards.
Yeah, but then they said the exact same thing about DeMar DeRozan.
But think about 3 years' time with a Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle. You know, those are two nice pieces to build around right there. Maybe a Jordan Clarkson. If those three guys develop into what we're all thinking they can become, you know what the talk's going to be in 3 years' time. The narrative will be, hey, they're one guy away. Hey, Russell Westbrook's a free agent in 2 years. You know, might go back home. This Lakers team with Westbrook, woo.
I mean, yeah, okay, that's true. But, you know, if the team develops how most people would think, it's like D'Angelo Russell is the starting point guard on that team. So then what?
Move him to 2.
But then what about Jordan Clarkson?
Put him on the bench. This is the Lakers, man. They want the name.
Oh, man, we've descended into the Lakers talk, man. That's what happened.
We've never done that before. Hold on. We always descend into Warriors talk. No, but we're in California talk right now. You know, we're talking about California teams. But it's the Lakers.
Yeah. You know, that's when you know, like, the podcast is ending.
Yeah, so it's most certainly over at that point.
when we're in the different other conference, literally the other side of the landmass, we're talking about those.
We still got to rip our NBA podcast, man. We got to get that going.
Oh, man. You know what? Yeah, you're right. And we unofficially announced it. We're like, I don't even know what rapper we're like right now. We're just like, you know what? Who we are right now? We're Frank Ocean. We're just like, yeah, man, my mixtape or my album. Frank.
Let me throw it back a little further, man. We're Papoose. Mixtape after mixtape after mixtape. CD's coming. Nasarima Dream, it's coming.
Oh, my God. Big Sean.
And that thing came, it was done.
Shout out to Big Sean. Finally releasing albums after the billions of mixtapes that he threw out there.
Hey, you know what, man? When we do the NBA pod, too, we should get you to throw out some music since you're such a big music aficionado. You always have something different playing on your iPod.
Yeah.
Or iPhone.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
Dude, Childish Gambino's new tracks, baby. Oh, my goodness.
Something other than Childish Gambino. That is your absolute, like, that's your dude.
Childish Gambino is my guy, Kanye West. Chance the Rapper. Oh, okay.
Oh, did you see J. Cole's little diss thing at Kanye?
Oh, man. It's getting out of control. The Kanye storyline itself is getting out of control.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the podcast is getting out of control.
Oh, man. Thanks for joining us here at Tip of the Towers, the TOT podcast. If you want to find us, you can find us on Twitter at TOT, it's at Tip of the Tower. You can find Crystal Kranz at Crystal Kranz. You can find me, DeMar Grant, at DeMar J. Grant. And, welcome to the Tip of the Tower podcast. Welcome to tipofthetower.com. You can find us on SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower as well. And Raptors won. Celebrate, man.
Hey, they won 5 in a row.
Yeah, we're on a winning streak. You know,
it's very quietly. Nobody's talking about it. It's overshadowed by TFC.
Low key. Don't tell anybody.
That's what the kids like to say nowadays. Low key.
See you later, guys.
Later, guys.